Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City, a 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime! Kansas City wins the game!
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Excited to be here with you guys on this wonderful, wonderful Monday. I am in a call-taking mood today. I am in a great mood, a fantastic mood. I mean, I feel like it's been a while since we've been able to raise our hands. Raise your hand if your favorite college football team won this past weekend. I can raise my hand. I'm looking over at Willie Wildcat. His hand is up. Rob, why is your hand not up? Did I miss something? You guys lost in front of a sold-out crowd against Cincinnati? Okay. I don't know what it's like to watch my college football team lose on a Saturday. That's just not a feeling that I know what it's like. I know Wildcat fans, that's a feeling you guys know very well. KU, you guys obviously know that as well. That's just not something that I'm accustomed to. So it's a little weird whenever we play this game. Raise your hand. I'm the only one with my hand up in the air, but I guess that's okay. Coming up momentarily, we'll talk about the Kansas City Chiefs. Really happy that you guys are here. We only have one guest today, Mitch Holtis, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. He is going to join me in studio coming up in 2 hours at 4 o'clock. He can also raise his hand because his favorite college football team won this weekend. We are going to have a lot of fun. Before we do that, I need you guys to do a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. I also need you to tell two friends to listen to the show. Yes, I'm being greedy this week. I need you to tell two people to listen to the show. And number three, and might be most important, I need you to go stop by the other place with five area locations. We got two games on Monday night today. So if you're looking for a place after work to stop by, grab a drink, you want to catch some Monday night football, a fantastic place to do that is with our friends over at The Other Place. I don't think that I have ever uttered these words before on this platform. I'm not one to call out the effort that professional athletes give. I understand that their job is very physically demanding. It's very taxing. It's very, very difficult. And it is hard for us to put ourselves in their place. But it is my job to give you my opinion. It is my job to tell you guys how I feel. I feel like the Kansas City Chiefs made the Baltimore Ravens quit yesterday, and I thought the biggest quitter of all of them was their starting quarterback, Lamar Jackson. So they showed the play. Lamar gets tackled. Lamar goes down to the ground. Now, Lamar gets up very, very quickly, and after throwing an interception to Leo Chenal, after having another fumble that was caused by one of his own offensive linemen, after getting just absolutely beat around in every single phase of football yesterday, they got beat offensively, they got beat on defense, they got beat on special teams, they got beat and dominated in a way that the Chiefs haven't done to a team in 2 years. It looked to me like Lamar Jackson got up and said, "Now I'm good for the day." Maybe you guys think I'm wrong. Maybe you think I'm out of pocket by calling it. I saw Lamar Jackson quit yesterday in front of everybody. I saw a quarterback who wanted nothing more with that Kansas City defense, wanted nothing more to do with your noise at the stadium. I saw a quarterback that was ready to do anything else other than play football. We've seen Patrick Mahomes, right? We've seen Patrick Mahomes, when he's had an injury, look like he's ready to fight Andy Reid to stay in the game. I saw a quarterback that, when they told him he had a little bit of a hamstring injury, seemed perfectly fine, like, all right, man, you're right. You got it. At least go in the back and get some fake treatment. Make me feel like you want to come back into the game. Lamar was sitting off by himself pouting in the fourth quarter of the game. Chiefs fans, you did that. Chiefs defense, you did that. You grounded Lamar Jackson and the Ravens offense into submission. They didn't want to play anymore. They had no interest in continuing the fight. Embarrassing effort from the Baltimore Ravens. Maybe you disagree, but that's what I saw. I saw a Ravens team that flat out quit in front of everybody. Now, from the Kansas City perspective, and this is very, very important in my mind, if you have been somebody who has held on to the belief that this offense is about to transform once everybody gets healthy, that everybody was overreacting, and that once Patrick Mahomes got his full complement of weapons, that you were going to see the real version of the Kansas City Chiefs, you got a glimpse into the future on Sunday afternoon. Almost everything the Chiefs did on offense worked. The Chiefs ran the football effectively. We'll talk more about this, but I think you started to see the roles start to take shape for this running back room. We were clamoring last week for you to get Bashard Smith into the offense. You drafted him to be that C.J. Spiller, Jerick McKinnon, Samaje Perine roll out of the backfield. They utilized it. He looked like he was ready for it. They figured out how Kareem Hunt fits into this offense. They figured out what Isaiah Pacheco can do. So in some ways, I left encouraged by the running back room, and that's the first time I felt encouraged about the Chiefs running back room in probably 6 months. There's not been a lot of times over the last 6 months that I left thinking, you know what, they might be all right. I left Sunday thinking that the Chiefs running back room has a chance of being all right. So we saw the running back room take shape. I have been telling you guys this for weeks, and it's not like I have uncovered something that you couldn't have figured out. Explosive plays come from explosive players. They didn't really have many explosive players in their offense. They got one of them back. In fact, they got their best offensive player back from last season. And you could instantly see what his role is in this offense and how he transformed the Chiefs offense. He had three plays that went over 20 yards. He was their leading rusher in the game. In the pass game, you saw him run a route and just get... They don't have anybody like that on their team aside from he and Rashee Rice. The offensive line, bang up job, A+. That's the best version of Kingsley Suamataia that we've seen. If you had Juwan Taylor penalty as the free space on bingo, you didn't hit in this game. Juwan Taylor played a clean game. Josh Simmons played a clean game. The Chiefs offensive line did exactly what they were supposed to do, and they dominated the Ravens defensive line. The Chiefs offense gets an A+ for how they perform. If you have been holding on, and for good reason, but if you have been holding on to the just wait until the Chiefs get healthy, it was a glimpse into what their offense can look like coming up in a couple of weeks. This team did it. A shaky start, but we talked about how big of a swing game that this was going to be for Kansas City. There is a major difference in being 2-2 and being 1-3. And now you head into October, 2-2. You got Xavier Worthy back. You have added Bashard Smith into your offense. You feel like you know what Tyquan Thornton can do for this team. And you got two more games without Rashee Rice. And you can start to ramp up into the Buffalo game, ramp up into the second half of the season, and transfer transform this offense in a way that they haven't been able to get to because of the injuries. They have never had a wide receiver room. I guess they haven't in the last 2 years had a wide receiver room that looks like they could have heading into week 7 of the NFL season, where you got Xavier Worthy as one of the better young receivers in the league. You get back Rashee Rice, Tyquan Thornton settling in as your third option. You've got a couple of options out of the backfield who can catch the football tight end wise. There is some hope. There is some light at the end of the tunnel for the Kansas City Chiefs offense. So we can take your phone calls today, 913-586-7965. We can read your text. I'm in a great mood. Rob is in a great mood. There's no reason for anybody to be in a bad mood today. That is as dominant, that is as complete of an effort that you have seen from the Kansas City Chiefs since Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift started dating. The Chiefs dominated the Ravens in almost every single aspect of the game. Offensively, defensively, special teams, there is not a single area in which I think the Ravens looked adequate. There is not a single place that I thought the Ravens looked competitive with Kansas City in this matchup. There's a lot of conversations that need to be had about Kansas City and if they're turning the corner. There's also a lot of conversations that we need to have about the Baltimore Ravens, and are we sure that that team is making the postseason? We'll have that conversation coming up on the other side, because there are two teams that yesterday's Ravens team reminded me of. I'll tell you who they are. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
This is Wyatt Thompson from K-State, and you're listening to The Drive with CDOT right here on 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Our Monday football coverage is brought to you by Busey Bank, where they are focused on your success. At Busey Bank, they've been building business and growing wealth since 1868. Learn more at buseybank.com. I want to read this text to you guys, actually a couple of texts, and then I want to tell you who the Ravens remind me of. The first text is, CDOT, the Chiefs were a Bucker missed field goal away from putting a 40-burger on a Super Bowl contending team. This offense is back and humming. That's one text. Somebody else then mentioned, when are you going to bring up the injuries to the Ravens? We got 4 hours. We got a lot of time to talk about all of those things. I in no way want to diminish what the Chiefs did on offense yesterday, but at some point, we are going to have to discuss the injuries that the Ravens currently have on their defense. Now, there is a phrase in here that I want to go back to. The Chiefs were a Bucker missed field goal away from putting a 40-burger on a Super Bowl contending team. I'm here telling you right now that that's not what the Ravens are. That's what the Ravens used to be. That is not what the Ravens are right now. We have just watched a month of games from the Super Bowl contending team you are alluding to. They lost every game to a team that is in that conversation and gave up at least 35 points in all of those games. That is not a team that could win the Super Bowl. That defense yesterday was bad. Rob reminded me of this when I came into the office today. He said, you know, one of the points you made last week were that people were discussing the Ravens defense like it was the Cowboys defense. They are the Cowboys defense. Yeah, I mean, you're right. I don't, Rob. It was like Rob tried to stump me. No, you're right. That did look like the Cowboys defense. That defense was leaky yesterday, and the Chiefs absolutely exploited the Ravens defense at every single turn. The Chiefs had a chance to score on every single drive until the midpoint in the fourth quarter. Every single drive. Every single drive. So they executed offensively about as well as you could yesterday, and the Ravens simultaneously play defense about as poorly as you could yesterday. These are the two teams that I want to throw out to you guys that the Ravens kind of remind me of. I was thinking this as I was driving in. What if the Ravens are this year's version of the San Francisco 49ers? You guys remember last year for San Francisco? Man, everybody just got hurt. Like, I want to play for you this audio from Ian Rappaport. I mean, the Ravens right now are incredibly wounded right now. Listen to this list of guys that are out or injured. This is from Ian Rappaport.
Lamar Jackson was knocked out of that game with a hamstring injury. He's going to have tests today just to determine the severity of this injury, but that is why Cooper Rush was in the game. That is why Lamar Jackson spent the balance of the game on the sideline. John Harbaugh saying this injury and all of the other injuries, which there are more, I'll get to that in a second, none of them are season-ending. They do not seem like any are significant, but certainly you have a player who has a hamstring injury, could potentially miss time. Roquan Smith, their star linebacker, another player knocked out with a hamstring injury. He also is going to have tests today. As important as Lamar is to the offense, Roquan is to the defense. Marlon Humphrey, their star corner, he was knocked out, eventually ruled out with a calf injury. That's another one to watch, another MRI coming. And then Ronnie Stanley, their star tackle, he left with an ankle injury. So, like, you talk about Hunger Games, there was a lot.
I mean, looking at the Ravens and the list of players that are currently missing, tell me this doesn't sound like last year's San Francisco 49ers. The Niners really at no point had Christian McCaffrey, who is their best offensive player. They missed Trent Williams for a portion of last season. That's why Jalen Moore got the opportunity to start. So we're talking about maybe the best left tackle in the National Football League missed a substantial amount of time. And we can go up and down the list of injuries. They lost Deebo Samuel last year for a period. They lost Brandon Ayuk last year for a period. And the Niners ended up being a team that went from overtime in the Super Bowl to outright missing the postseason. That doesn't feel like the Ravens right now. Do you have enough of healthy, available star players to carry this thing out? Are you yourself a playoff team? Because the Ravens that just played the Kansas City Chiefs, that is not a playoff contending team. That is not a Super Bowl contending team. That is a team that, A, I don't think is healthy enough to be able to make the postseason, and their defense is not good enough. You are going to lose a lot of coin flip games because the other team has the ball last, and you just can't get off the field. They couldn't get off the field at all yesterday. So that's one team, Rob, that I was thinking of that just hit me. Maybe the Ravens are this year's version of the San Francisco 49ers. At the beginning of the year, we all know that this is a possibility. There's going to be 4 to 6 teams that made the playoffs in 2024 that are going to miss the playoffs in 2025. There's going to be a handful of teams that didn't make it, like the Indianapolis Colts, for example, that turned things around and now they're a playoff team. Isn't that what we are potentially seeing in the first month of the season with the Baltimore Ravens? So I don't want to completely bury them. I don't want to completely kick dirt on them, but it don't look good. And if you're going to turn things around, you're going to have to ask yourself, with whom are you turning things around? And how quickly are you going to be able to get there? Because what you have been so far in the first quarter of the season is not a team that looks to me to be a playoff team. That looks like a team that goes 8-9 and narrowly misses the postseason and tries to regroup for the 2026 campaign. The other team that they reminded me of, and maybe this is an overreaction to the sports talk calls that I remember we got back in week one, Rob. What if this is John Harbaugh's Andy Reid year in Philadelphia? You guys remember, Andy Reid had tremendous success in Philadelphia. Tremendous success. They went to AFC or NFC championship games. They went to a Super Bowl. They were constantly in competition for their division. They had a down year, and the Eagles just went in a different direction. They went to go get Chip Kelly. Andy Reid needed a fresh start. He came to Kansas City and found his forever quarterback and turned things around. Is that potentially what's happening right now to the Baltimore Ravens? Because in some ways, they do feel a little bit stuck. Lamar can't beat Patrick Mahomes. He can't beat Josh Allen. Well, if you can't beat those two guys, then why are we having Super Bowl conversations? You have to beat those guys in order to find yourself in the Super Bowl. I want to throw those teams out there, 913-586-7965. What if the Ravens, in the short term, their last year's version of the San Francisco 49ers, what if this is John Harbaugh's Andy Reid year in Philadelphia? Great coach, well-respected around the league. Your time is just quite simply come to an end, and it is in everybody's best interest for you to go somewhere else. What if that is what's currently happening right before us with the Baltimore Ravens, that they could just need a new voice in the room, a new offense, a new defense, a new leader, a new philosophy? What if the Ravens are just in search of something new, fresh, and different from what they've been doing for the last 15 years or so?
I think of the two comparisons, I like the Philadelphia Andy Reid one more, because I don't think you can tell me with the lead of the show, and I don't disagree with you, by the way, the Ravens quit and then turn around and be like, you know, but they're just the Niners of last year. Some bad injuries, they got beat up, they'll be back because we think they're a championship pedigree type of team. Just some years, not your year. That team looked like it quit on their head coach. That team looked like the messaging was stale. That team looked like it needs a change. It wasn't just Lamar Jackson with the appearance that he didn't fight to get back in the game. There were multiple times he had like a temper tantrums is the best way I can describe it on the sideline. They showed Derrick Henry at one point on the sideline. He just looked like he had dissociated. He wasn't there anymore. He was physically present, but I don't know where he was mentally. And throughout the game, they just kept showing that Ravens sideline, and they looked like there was nothing behind the eyes at times. That's coaching. That's leadership. That's the power structure that is the Ravens. And we'll react to the national media said over the course of the show, even tomorrow too. But the Ravens that me and you grow up with, we're, you know, going to make you black and blue. We're going to bruise you up. We're going to grind you. We are going to out physically, mentally, and physically just bear down and tear you apart. That was not the team I saw on Sunday. The Ravens that had Joe Flacco and Ed Reed and that group of 07, that is not the group that took the field on Sunday. That team looked like, I know it's only September, but they had a lot of 3-2-1 Cancun energy, way more so than they're going to stay in there and fight this out to see what happens.
You know my belief that teams take on the personality of their leaders. I thought the leaders of the Ravens quit yesterday. I think Lamar quit. There is no scenario, there is no world in which I think Patrick Mahomes leaves the game, sits on the sideline, doesn't try to get any treatment, doesn't get an MRI, is happy just sitting on the bench for the final 15 minutes of the game and letting Cooper Rush go out there, and then is the first one dapping dudes up in the middle of the field when the game is up. I think Lamar got punched in the mouth yesterday, realized they couldn't win, realized it wasn't their day, and just said, no, I'm good. I'm out. We can talk more about Derrick Henry and the numbers. And Derrick Henry, after that initial monster game against the Buffalo Bills, has just not been that bruising back that you're talking about. So if your quarterback gave up on you yesterday, your running back isn't what he was maybe a year or so ago, it kind of leads you to get beat up the way that they did yesterday. It's not that the Chiefs won the game yesterday against the Ravens. It's the how they won the game. They just physically punched Baltimore, and outside of that first drive where the Ravens, their first scripted 15 plays, they go down the field like a hot knife through butter. After that, it was like the Chiefs said, no, we're not doing that anymore. And the Ravens just quite simply just didn't have any answer for anything Kansas City wanted to do for the final 55 minutes of that game. I want to go back and I want to play this. And this is what kind of gave me that thought about this being Harbaugh's Philadelphia year with Andy Reid. And just it was time for the two to go in different directions. Whenever fans start calling into sports talk radio and they're talking like this, this is usually a sign that the end is not that far away.
Hey, guys, if you could just give me like 20 seconds to vent real quick.
Go for it.
I just wanted to talk about a few players. Roquan Smith, fraud, all bark, no bite, all fraud, absolute fraud. And he's still slow on the field. He's digressed since PQ left. He misses PQ more than PQ misses him. John Harbaugh. Fraud. Ooh. Speaks in parables every single year. Parables, parables, parables. The team wins despite him. Zach Orr, unequipped, unexperienced. Fraud. No time for learning on a job while you're chasing a Lombardi.
and the positivities, I wanted to say shout out to the left side of the O-line.
Yeah.
Voorhees and Stanley and Linderbaum played their ass off. The right side of the line struggled. Lamar Henry Zay, Kyle Hamilton, Teddy B, and Travis Jones. They seemed like the only players that was playing on that defense last night.
Right now they ain't got none of half those dudes that he named from week one ain't playing for the defense for them right now. We're going to get the Baltimore sports talk. We're still in the process of tracking it down, so don't worry. We're going to have some fresh, new Baltimore sports talk because I can't wait to hear what they have to say about the drubbing they just got. I mean, you got to feel down if you're a Ravens fan. You played the other two big dogs in the AFC. We spent all summer and all spring talking about the big three in the AFC. You got Kansas City, Buffalo, and Baltimore. Well, Buffalo looks like in the regular season, they're the best version of that team. I know what you're going to say, Chiefs fans. They got to see us in January. Well, it's September. Buffalo looks like they're the best team in the AFC right now. Kansas City is 2-2, but starting to get healthy, starting to figure some things out. Certainly still 100% in that mix and in that conversation. And the Ravens look like a team that's about to have the 13th overall pick in the NFL draft. That's how they look. The Ravens look like a team that's going to be selecting 13th in this upcoming draft. They look like a team that is going to win 7 or 8 games and narrowly miss the playoffs. That is what I saw yesterday when I was watching this team. Speaking of what I saw yesterday, and I know that you guys are going to accuse me of hopping on the bandwagon, and maybe this is my fault. I cheer for Missouri, right? You know this. And there are certain games and certain moments that Missouri has a chance to prove you wrong, kind of like what they have coming up next week against Alabama. Now, I know some of you will say, oh, this is Nick Saban's Alabama. Well, he ain't coming back. He's a television host now. If Missouri beats Alabama next week, that will show a large portion of you, hey, maybe Missouri is for real. This isn't a game that they usually win. Maybe they are the program that they think they can be. But if Missouri loses, you know what the thought process is going to be. Oh, same old Mizzou, I told you. This moment happened yesterday for the Los Angeles Chargers. And they weren't playing Alabama. In fact, they were playing the anti-Alabama. They were playing the New York Giants. New York Giants with a new quarterback, coach who we think is about to be fired. Their best receiver tore his ACL in the middle of the game. I mean, every version of the Chargers that we've seen, I mean, serious, every version of the Chargers that we have ever seen loses that game. There is not a single year that you can point to me in the last 15 where you were telling me that the Chargers would have won that game. So if the Chargers want the rest of us to believe that they're different, maybe they are different. Well, yesterday was one of those kind of moments. You know, you're feeling good. You won all three games against the other teams in the AFC West. You're starting to get a little bit of praise. Cowherd's putting you at the top of his herd hierarchy. People around the league are starting to consider you as the favorite in the AFC West. Vegas has you as the AFC West favorite. You know, the tide was turning for them. Well, you got a game against the New York Giants, a team that's going to pick in the top 10 of the NFL draft. The Chiefs, they don't lose that game. You want to know how I know? I just saw them win it. The Eagles wouldn't lose that game. Buffalo wouldn't lose that game. You know, the teams that we think can actually win the Super Bowl, the Lions would have won that game. This is why people don't believe in you, Los Angeles. This is why people call it chargering. This is why we doubt you. Because no matter how different you claim to be, no matter what color jerseys you're in or who your head coach is or how much we like Quentin Johnston because he's improved, you will always do things like this. You've always done things like this. You're no different. You just simply changed the caps from red to blue. And I will give you guys a lot of credit, Chiefs fans. I don't want to take it away from you. You might be the only people that see the Chargers for who they truly are. Everybody else gets enamored with the things. They're like a broke person that tries to overcompensate with it by buying a lot of fancy clothes. You know, sometimes the nicer the shoes, the broker the person really is. They're really trying to fool you. I see you got all the designer on. What's that, Prada? They start wearing name brands you can't even pronounce. But deep down, you know, that person ain't got it like that.
That person's pockets ain't really like that. You guys are the only ones that see the Chargers for who they really are. Fraudulent. Scoring 18 points against the New York Giants. Disgusting effort, Rob. Absolutely disgusting effort. I got to give the text line a lot of credit today. I'm sure the text line will do something to take to have me take the credit back. But right now, the text line, they're pitching a perfect game. It's early. But right now, the text line is pitching a perfect game. You guys always say it about the Chargers, and the Chargers, every single year, they show you exactly who they are.
I mean, that was... I don't remember the exact texter, so if you are this person, please text in. Congratulations, you nailed this prediction. We were talking about the Chargers and the AFC West and the whole thing last week. Someone texted in, they're going to lose the Giants, book it. And I remember reading that text and kind of giggling, like, come on. This is just regular Chiefs-Charger rivalry fodder, but there's no way Jackson Dart's first start, that defense, you know, against Justin Herbert and Jim Harbaugh are going to lose to dead man walking Brian Daboll. It's impossible that happens. Lo and behold, kudos to whoever that texter is, because the Chargers looked bad. Like, there are people in New York very excited about Jackson Dart today, and that is a product of the Chargers being bad. Now, they still lead the division, and they have the all-important tiebreak right now with the Chiefs because they got the Chiefs head-to-head. I get that, but that is not the first or last time this season we're going to be saying at some point, you know, the Chargers really had a chance to stranglehold the division, but then they lost to insert blank. Maybe they'll lose the Cowboys because that's the cross-division rival this year. I don't think they're beating the Eagles. They've already lost the Giants. Maybe they'll slip up and lose somewhere else. You're going to be like, oh, the Chargers are exactly who the Chargers thought they were. We thought that they were. So, not great if you're one of the a dozen Charger fans that exist, but that's just what happens every year with the Los Angeles Chargers.
Without fail. I mean, it's really like clockwork. It's like clockwork. You could just tell that that was the trap for the Chargers. And they fall for the trap every single time. Rob, it's like a team. It's like Ole Miss. Whenever they go like on the road to Kentucky, you're like, hey, I don't care how good the season's going. You're not winning that game. You're definitely losing on the road to Mississippi State every single time.
They're James Franklin. They're because the Chargers will lose a game they shouldn't. They'll lose to teams they should. And then at the end of the year, they're going to be like, man, aren't we the spiciest 10-7 team? Who cares? Who cares about being the spiciest 10-7 team? You're 10-7.
Fraudulent. I'm mad you reminded me about that fraud. We didn't even talk about Penn State in our pre-show meeting. I've completely tried to erase Penn State from my mind. I really have. I don't want anything to do with Penn State. I really don't want anything to do with them. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll talk a little bit of college football. Just a hint, a tinge of college football. Rob, do you listen to Bad Bunny? I only ask if you listen to Bad Bunny because your music tastes are very eclectic. You listen to a wider range of music than I would have presumed. You know, every year at the end of the year, we go through your Spotify and your number one song last year was Kane Brown. I didn't know that you were a big Kane Brown individual. Now, I don't listen to Bad Bunny, but you might listen to Bad Bunny. Are you a Bad Bunny fan?
I am not a Bad Bunny fan, and I'll go a step further. And this is not an insult to Bad Bunny. I don't think I can name a single Bad Bunny song.
I couldn't name one either. I mean, I couldn't name one that wasn't with Drake. I can name one that's with Drake.
Yeah.
I just couldn't name one like on his own.
I can't name a Bad Bunny song. I can name songs that he is on.
I think I would struggle with that, to be completely honest with you. This is the thing. And this is a really, really important message that maybe you need to hear it. Maybe you don't need to hear it. Everything is not for everybody. And sometimes I feel like in pop culture, people just hate on things because they're not the demographic for it. The Super Bowl halftime show has pretty clearly shown you who I think their demographic is. Sometimes they go for nostalgia. They've done that before. But most of the time, they are trying to find hip, young, current acts. So if you want them to go back in time and get the band that was hot in the 70s, that's not what the Super Bowl halftime show, I think, wants to represent today. I think they want to be young, hip. And I understand if you're the 47-year-old football fan and you're like, hey, who is Bad Bunny? The kids, they listen to Bad Bunny. They do. I looked this up today because I was genuinely curious. Rob, did you know that Bad Bunny was the third most streamed artist last year on Spotify? Number one was Taylor Swift. They asked Taylor Swift to do it. She declined.
Number two was The Weeknd. The Weeknd just did it in 2021. And then number three was Bad Bunny. Very popular artist. Now, I don't listen to Bad Bunny. And you know what? That's okay. I'm perfectly fine with the 14-minute halftime show not being for me. I, in fact, don't really have any interest in this year's halftime show. You know what? That's fine. I somehow have made it without really having an interest on what's going on in the halftime of the football game that I'm watching, especially when there's so much other things that are going on. So you know what I will be doing during the halftime? I'll probably just take a little bathroom break. Maybe I'll go outside and use the phone. Maybe I'll surf the internet. I'll be on TikTok. I'll be on Twitter. That's usually time I need a refill anyway. Hey, you going upstairs? I'll go up there with you. Let's grab something to drink. That's time for me to double up on plates. That's a good time for me to go get my cheesecake and start getting my dessert and get ready for the second half of the game. I'm just here to tell you that if this year's halftime performer is not for you, that you will be okay. And yes, they didn't pick who exactly you wanted them to pick. Trust me, you will be fine. I tell you guys this every year. I don't know if they can make us all happy anymore with the halftime performer. We don't all listen to the same music anymore. We used to. When we used to get our music from the radio and get our music from the television, it was curated in a way where we all liked the same 8 to 10 artists. That's not the case anymore. That's how somebody like Bad Bunny or Billie Eilish can be one of the 5 most popular musicians in the world, and you have no clue who they are because you don't listen to that kind of music, and that's okay. Bad Bunny is not for me. Not at all. Billie Eilish is not for me. Hell, I don't listen to Taylor Swift's music. But if that's who they're going to put on the halftime show, I just understand that that year, the halftime show ain't for me. It'll come back around. They'll have people that I want to see. They've had people that I want to see recently do the halftime. They just aren't doing that this year. So salute to Bad Bunny. Salute to you if you are happy that Bad Bunny is doing it. And I hope that it's I hope it's your favorite halftime performer. I'm just telling you that during that time, I'm on TikTok. I'm on YouTube. I'm okay. Y'all got it. Y'all can have it. There's plenty of things you guys like that I don't like. I didn't watch Love Island. Some of you watched every single episode. There's plenty of shows and things that people like that I don't like. And that's perfectly fine. This Super Bowl halftime is perfectly fine. They picked a modern, very popular act that appeals to a lot of different ages and a lot of different demographics, and that's perfectly fine if I'm just not a part of that demographic of people that want to hear this music for 14 minutes. Coming up on the other side, we'll talk a little bit of college football, and we'll get back to the Chiefs and their destruction of the Baltimore Ravens. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, a show that prides itself on getting it right.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 96.5, The Fan.
All right, we can talk about this at the top of the hour if you would like. This is the top text on the text line. C. Rob, when are you guys going to talk about how it's time to cut bait with Harrison Butker? He's becoming very unreliable. We know that he's going to miss a kick or an extra point at a crucial time. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. It's time for the Chiefs to move on from him. You just play the audio. Baltimore fans were talking about frauds. We have a fraud in Harrison Butker. We can talk about Harrison Butker at 3 o'clock. This is going, I'm just going to go and give you a disclaimer before we get there. This is going to be one of those topics where
I'm going to tell you guys how it is, and you guys are going to be mad. Like, I've done this long enough to know that I know what my take is, and I don't think you guys are going to like my take. And you guys get all mad about it, and I'm like, I'm right. I don't know what to tell you, but I know that I'm right, and you're wrong. We'll do that here in a little bit. We will take a quick detour to talk a little bit of college football. Now, I know that I led the show making fun of KU. I mean, come on now. It's part of my brand. You know, we have to do the raise your hand if your team won. And when your team is undefeated and you've beat your rival so far head to head and they've also lost twice. I mean, come on now. I mean, that's just, I mean, you just put it right there on a tee. You guys didn't expect me to try and knock it out the park. I got to make fun of them a little bit. But now let me get very serious. Rob, tell me if I'm wrong. Last year when KU struggled, I felt like a large portion of it was directed at their quarterback. He just wasn't playing well enough. Last year, it felt like it was directed towards the offensive coordinator and their quarterback last year. This Saturday was the first time that I can remember, and maybe I have a bad memory. It is the first time that I saw KU fans unhappy with their head coach and who their head coach is. Now, I asked this question. Who does KU think that they should be? What kind of program do they think they should be? Because I would argue that KU is the exact program that they should be. They are a fun-to-watch bowl team. And I don't know what more KU fans expect out of their football program, that there are some disadvantages that KU has that will just always make it very difficult to build the kind of football program that you think. I also think that whether it's NIL, the transfer portal, whatever it is, I always feel like fans think that their program is probably a lot closer to it than they probably are, and always think that there is this ceiling that is just very, very unrealistic for them to probably get to. And it feels like that's kind of where I think Lance Leipold is. He has kind of given you a little bit of a taste. You've gone to 2 bowl games. You won 9 games before. You look and you see how things are going for Missouri. Now, I know that K-State hasn't gotten off to a good start. You kind of look and you see what K-State is, and you think, we should be that. I'm not saying this to troll you. KU fan, you've never been that. You guys have been playing football since the early 1900s. You have 3 seasons in which you have won double-digit games. And now I think with NIL, now we just think that everybody can just magically become somebody new as a program. I don't think it works that easily. I understand being frustrated about what happened on Saturday. I really do. I watched a large majority of that KU game, and that is a game that absolutely they had a chance to win. But KU is a 7-5 football team. 7-5 football teams, that's kind of what they look like occasionally on Saturdays. They lose games like that. So I kind of think that Lance Leipold has actually done a really good job and gotten really close to the most that I think you can out of KU's football program. Sure, you can have the 1 year where you pop up and you do something magical. Folks, they've had one of those in the last 50 seasons. That is just not historically what KU's football program has been. And I don't really know if KU just as a whole, I don't think if KU and their donors and their fans, I don't know if they really want to be a great football program. I think it's a nice distraction to get you into your legendary basketball program. That's how it's always come off to me. But I'm an outsider. I cheer for Missouri, so maybe my opinion just doesn't matter. Rob, you're a season ticket holder. You're A1 prime demographic for KU. It did feel like on Saturday, that's the first time that I've seen KU fans frustrated with Lance Leipold.
I think it's the trend. Because I feel like KU fans are looking around the world of college football and think themselves, yes, the way you describe KU fans is how a lot of them feel. I want to have fun in the fall, go have a few pops, have a nice stadium experience, go to a bowl game, and, you know, not be a laughing stock. But it feels like, as you look around the sport, there are a lot of teams that used to be in that same ballpark as Kansas, and now they've excelled out of this tier. I know Indiana is a one-coach program. I get that. But KU feels like they have a same level of coach that Indiana does, or they did when they hired him. You know, guy from a D2, smaller program that was doing great. Now let's see if he can take the step forward. Indiana's a playoff team last year. They'll be a playoff team this year. There's no reason why KU fans think they can't be Indiana. And I think why the frustration on Saturday existed is there is a quiet trend of KU losing close games, and people blame close losses on coaching.
Yeah,
they lost at home last year to UNLV. Now, you can say they didn't pick up a fumble, and that's why they lost, but they lost, air quote, at home to UNLV. They lost last year on the road to Illinois, a game they were in to the end. They probably should have won that one. They fell short. TCU last year. I know K-State fans are going to, you know, push back on this. KU was in position to win their game last year in Manhattan. They found a way to fumble it away. They found a way to lose that game. They found a way to not win, which what bad teams do. And then this year, I know that Missouri was the better team, more talent, the whole deal. KU fans felt like they had the ball, down four around midfield, chance to go win the game. They feel like they did not win that game. They're going to blame their coach. And now this one, they led with a minute plus to go, and you felt like we should hold on to this win. They didn't, and that's where KU fans are going to start pointing to their head coach, because one score losses, people blame on the head coach more than anyone.
What kind of program do you think KU should be? And I'm asking this like a genuine question, because I asked it, and this was the sentiment that I got on Twitter when I asked this question. Well, we think that KU should be a 7-5, 8-4 program, and once every 4 or 5 years, they should be a team that wins double-digit games. What? Come on now. That's not the program that KU is, and you know that. This is what I think. This is my outside opinion. I think because they have a rich person that's paying for their stadium, they now think that that transforms them as a football program. It doesn't. It makes you competitive with the other programs. But if you had been to a KU football game, that football stadium was just bad. It was old. You needed a new stadium. And one person just decided, hey, I got enough money. I want to pay for it. But we also live in a world with NIL. Man, everybody's paying. So, yes, KU has some advantages. Yes, they got a little bit of money right now. Well, everybody's got a little bit of money right now. Quite literally everybody's got a little bit of money right now.
To answer your question, what I think, and I can only speak for me, I'm not going to speak for the entire fan base, what I think KU is striving to become is what Matt Campbell has built at Iowa State. Because Matt Campbell, I pulled the numbers right here, Matt Campbell's time at Iowa State, it's not 12 wins every season and they have a party in Ames right down in the Sugar Bowl, but it's, you know, 8 wins here, 8 wins here, 7 win season, boom, pop up 9. Okay, regression now. 7 win season, bad season at 5 wins, pop up back to 7 wins, a nice 3-year run, boom, 11 wins. This year, they've started 5-0. Like, I think KU fans, I don't think they're there yet. I don't think the program is there yet, but I think they are trying to do what Matt Campbell is doing in Ames.
I think there are some major differences, and I know we're up against it. Number one, KU doesn't have a home base to recruit from. They do not have a home base. Their home base is not Kansas City. If you are one of the top players in Kansas City high school football, you were either going to Missouri or K-State or somebody outside bigger than that, right? Like, we see kids go to Oregon. We see kids go to Tennessee. So if you don't have a traditional home base, and I think the KU fans are also underestimating what is it like to play second fiddle in an athletic department. That is a very unique challenge that not a lot of other football programs have to deal with. You are the number one. You are the top dog. I mean, North Carolina football has never gotten things going. That's something that they deal with. Duke football has never really been going. Indiana, outside of this one run that I think we all agree, the moment they hire a different head coach, they will go back to being regular Indiana. Like, I think those things matter. A, you don't have a traditional place to pull from, so you got more competition for D1 talent, so you don't traditionally get the best high school kids. And I think you just have to compete with, when somebody wants to make a large donation to Kansas Athletics, it goes to the basketball program. KU just got the number one high school basketball player in the country just 24 hours ago. Their resources as a whole go to keeping up the machine that is the basketball program. And the football program is just a nice thing to have. So, hey, take your 7-5. Every once in a while, you'll win 8 games. You'll go to a bowl game every once in a while. But thinking that KU is going to turn into this team that consistently competes for the Big 12, I'm not trying to be funny. They haven't been that. They started playing football in 1901. They've never been that kind of program. The NIL now magically doesn't turn you into that program that you always envision yourself being. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll talk about Harrison Bucker. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know
Browns
why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.